from the Morongo Casino Studios. It's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank show. Cal Jam 18 is coming up. It's going to be Friday, October 5th, and Saturday, October 6th at the Glen Helen Amphitheater. On Friday, you're going to see Billy Idol and Bridget Everett. Then on Saturday, October 6th, you got the Foo Fighters, Iggy Pop, Tenacious D, Garbage, and Greta Van Fleet. If you want tickets, you can go to caljamfest.com and get those. I guess pit passes are sold out, but Saturday general admission is still available, Friday general admission. So be sure and get your tickets at caljamfest.com. Special guest coming in to talk about it today. We have Dave Grohl and Taylor Hawkins from Foo Fighters. Get him in here. Been a long time coming, fellas. Hey, come on in here.
He's here.
Oh,
it's royalty.
It's about damn time.
Oh my God.
Good to see you.
What's up?
How you doing?
It's Royal D.
Royal D. Good to see you guys. Thanks for coming.
Great to see you. Thanks for having us.
Word, dog.
You know, I listen to this show every morning. This is my show.
This is your show.
Every morning.
Are you intimidated?
This is the one. I gotta be honest. It's just weird seeing your face.
I'm kind of nervous too, because I mean, I love you guys, and I've been big fans for a long time. And if it stinks in here, I apologize.
What is that smell?
My right armpit's been working overtime for some reason.
More stank in one side than the other.
Do you?
Yeah, right side.
The right side.
Right side always gets it.
More sweat. More antiperspirant.
You know what? I have this thing that's going on now that's freaking me out, and I don't know what it is, but it's the last trip, like the last tour. That halfway through the show, I smell like cat p***. I swear to God. Do you get it too?
Yeah.
But at that last show in San Diego, I walked off stage and I asked people to come smell me. I'm like, dude, do I smell like cat p***? I smell like cat p*** right now. And nobody said, yeah, you smell like cat p***.
Because you got a bunch of butt lickers.
That's
in
what
there.
It is. That's the yes people.
No, Dave, you smell great, actually. Love what you smell like.
It's like cat p***.
Yeah. Is it tell fresh cat or is it stale?
I smell like cat p***.
I don't know what it is. I dump water on me all the time, and then it's like maybe the Jaeger's coming out through the pores.
Were you ever able to smell the audience? Like after they're jumping up
there? There's sometimes that you get... Like if you play one of those hockey arenas where like they put something over the ice and then you get like 10,000 people bouncing around, it creates this little cloud.
Yeah.
Like this own weird little, like a weather system. And then that'll hit you. And I could tell which states weed is legal in because get close to the audience and all of a sudden it's purple haze and you're out of your mind.
Yeah, San Diego.
There's
a little Rastafarianism going on.
You guys recently played.
That drums and that bass.
Cabo Del Mar, how was that?
That was fun. It was such a crazy festival because it was so spread out. And the lineup was so bananas. It was like Gucci Mane and the Foo Fighters and Katy Perry and Alice in Chains. It was just like, what is going on?
Backstage like English a wax Beat. Museum.
Totally.
My bros from the game, they went and saw English Beat earlier, bro. Because that's what we used to listen to. I heard they were great, too.
We got Cal Jam coming up.
Jam.
You excited about that?
Very excited about Cal Jam. We did that once before last year, and you know, it's a big rock festival, and everybody's got guitars and songs, and all the bands are shredding, and then there's tons of food, and then there's a comedy tent, and we basically put this thing together like if the Foo Fighters were to have a bar mitzvah.
This would be the band.
This would be it.
A Foo Mitzvah.
That's right.
Because growing up in the 80s like we did, I mean, Billy Idol, I was a huge Billy Idol fan growing
up
playing. So he's playing, Friday night?
He's
so.
Still ripping. Oh, I don't know. God. When was the last time you saw him play?
It's been a long time, but he was in here on Jonesy's show. He was in the hallway, and I was like, my God,
insane.
That's Billy Idol.
Yeah, it's Billy Idol.
He can still hit the notes, the high notes.
You know what's crazy? We played with him recently in Florida and Orlando or something like that, or Tampa, whatever it was, at some big rock festival. And there was a person doing sign language on the side of the stage. Did you see this, T? Because we were on the side of the stage watching.
Is that required now? You got to have somebody over there doing it?
I think like sometimes every once in a while a show will have them. Like
anyone's watching.
Like I went to AC/DC and sat in the same section as as the sign language people, and there's a dugout of them. So each one gets like three songs.
What's the sign for whole lot of Rosie?
Well, here's the thing. When Billy Idol was playing, he was doing some, I don't remember what song it was. It was like one of his sexy jams.
Right.
And I'm watching him, and it's like, it's all about like slippery and like, touching and legs and tongues and stuff. And I look down at the dude, the sign language guy, he was so into it. He's just like, with his face, he was making sexy stuff with his face.
He was like a 70-year-old guy, too.
So gross. I was like, I was turning on. I was like, this is great.
Does he sign the guitar solo? He's like air guitar when the solo is going on.
Whenever we play and we have the interpreters.
Yeah.
You throw so many F-bombs out there, do they get each one
it's
of
like,
those?
Bam, 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 bam. Man, bam, bam. Actually, there was bam, one bam, at Caboo. And I thought, like, oh, I'm going to go, like, jam with her. Did you see? I'm over to the side of the stage, like, shredding some lead. And I looked down at her, like, come on, let's do this. And she kind of looked at me, just like, dude, I've been out here all day. I just got finished with Halsey.
She just wanted to put some mittens on and relax.
Exactly. Let's put her to rest.
My hands are sore.
Take her away.
Dave Grohl and Taylor Hawkins hanging out with us. Frosty said he watched your entire documentary.
Oh, my God. The play.
23-minute.
Dave, I knew you were pretty good. But I didn't know. I mean, I don't know how to say this. I didn't know you were a genius, so I saw that. This play, this 23-minute nonstop. Dave playing all the instruments, which is incredible, nonstop, live, and it was an incredible tutorial on how to do a multi-track symphony, essentially. You wouldn't call it a solo record, you would call it a...
No, it was really just out of boredom.
Wow.
Where, like, I've recorded stuff by myself before where I, like, do the drums first, then I'll put the bass on it, do a guitar and stuff, and I'll record stuff like that and listen to it and think, like, okay, is this good? Is this a real song or is this not? And with that, I just thought, oh, wow, what a trip it would be to do something that's like 23 minutes long where I have to memorize. I don't read music, so I had to memorize everything.
The whole thing is going on in your head the whole time. It wasn't stopping and continue.
Yeah, no, I had to go. When I started the drums, I had to play all the way to the 23rd minute without blowing it. And I didn't have any reference. I didn't have any like click track or any sort of, I just had to, it was in my head. So I had to memorize the whole thing. And then I had to do the same thing with the guitar. And then I had to do the same thing with the bass. And it was really just like, okay, just to see if I could pull it off. But then we filmed it too to make it look like there were seven of me in a room together. And
I'm going to get away from my family too every now and then, but that's a little ridiculous.
You know, I had to just sometimes I just got to do my thing.
I got to create, man. I got to create.
I'm working, kids.
That's right. This is important.
I could tell from play the intensity you have when you're doing all those different tracks. Are you ever completely satisfied with recording, or do you hear stuff and cringe? Oh, we should
no, there's some time. Well, I mean, there's certain things here and there that I think like, well, that could have been better. But then there's other times where we'll do something and I'll be like, oh, that's exactly what I hoped. Like our song, The Sky's a Neighborhood, that turned out just like I hoped it would turn out. Or our song, Run, like that turned out just like I hoped it would turn out. And usually you don't really let it go. You don't let the cat out of the bag until it's ready to go. So,
do you ever have a lyric that you can never think of a better one, so you just have to leave it?
Always.
Like, that word sucks, but I just can't think of something. Like, you've tried, you've rhymed every single thing you possibly can with it. Yeah. So that's it.
I remember our bass player once when we were making a record say, dude, every song doesn't have to be Imagine. You know that, right? I was like, cool. So
if we could have one, that would be
the stupidest crap ever.
It says that you started a band when you were 10 years old. Do you have any of that recorded, and have you ever released that to the public? Is that just personal stuff?
No.
Early stuff?
Well, I used to record stuff by myself where I had two tape, like cassette decks, and I would record a guitar part on this one cassette, and then I'd take that cassette and put it into the other cassette deck, hit play on that while I got another cassette, hit record on this, and I would play drums along to it. So now on this cassette, I have drums and guitar, and then I put that in the thing and hit record, and then I'd sing, and I had songs. I wrote this song about my dog. It was called Bitch. And, you know, you're always scratching at the door or whatever. Yeah. Like, just stupid
the
stuff like
on
that.
The floor. That was a good line.
Right. Yeah. See? Yeah. Not every song has to be Imagine, you know?
It doesn't have to
be. So, I mean, when you're a kid, And it usually happens in that age in between like 10 and 13 where you really get into it. And if it gets its hooks into you then you're like a lifer.
Yeah, you hit your passion early because you said that you dropped out of high school to pursue music. Did you ever go back and finish or get your GED?
No, I
never
haven't.
Did?
Someday. And I still story, have. Dude. Thank you very much. Yeah, kids, drop out. What the heck? Look at me.
You'll never have to speak at graduation.
Right. No, but I still have nightmare dreams where I'm now, me, almost 50, in high school, still blowing it. Like, still, like, not going to class. And, you know, it's a hopeless situation.
Speaking of dreams, as a songwriter, do you ever dream a song?
Oh, absolutely.
And it's perfect in your head. Then you wake up and it's completely gone. Or do you still remember?
No, that happens all the time. It happened not too long ago. Like, maybe, you know, it's that thing. It's, I can't, who's, it's like that Mitch Hedberg joke where, like, you have you have the funniest joke you've ever thought of in your life, but that pen and paper is too far away, and you convince yourself that it wasn't really that funny in the first place. So it's that thing where you're lying in bed like, oh, damn, this is good. This is good, man. This is going to be huge. And then you're like, where's my phone? Oh, it's in the forget it. And then you, or have dreams about songs and wake up and they're not good.
And they're not good
no.
at all.
No. Yeah. No.
Taylor, prior to joining the band in 97, it says that you were touring with Alanis Morissette.
This
during
is
the Jagged Little
Alanis.
Pill era. Oh,
Alanis.
Sorry. Will she get upset if you say Alanis Morissette? She's like, it's Alanis.
I don't think so. I don't remember.
She'll call you in the middle of
it's like a Ford sedan.
The new Alanis. No, I don't think so. I don't know.
That album was absolutely huge.
I mean, yeah, it was. And, it was absolutely, it was like, a big whirlwind.
You said once that you'd be delivering pizzas if it wasn't for her, right?
Yeah, I mean,
it's never too late.
Yeah, it's never too late. Yeah, I mean, I played with a couple people prior to that. A lady named Sass Jordan, actually. And I was just kind of picking up gigs wherever I could, just as a drummer for hire, just so I didn't have to, you know, do lawns and stuff.
Right.
And, you know, sell weed and stuff. So, like, I got that gig through playing with Sass Jordan. I think I was making $350 a week with her. And then I
it's a lot of weed.
$500 a week with Alanis. And when she first started, but I got handed the manager who he said, check this out. Here's three songs. And one of them was You Oughta Know. And I remember like putting the cassette in my girlfriend's car. And my girlfriend was like, that's going to be huge. And I'm like, ah, no, Yeah, it was weird. Like, you could kind of hear it.
Yeah.
And so I joined the band, or she put the band together, and I was lucky enough to get the gig as the drummer. And she went away for a couple weeks, and we just put the set together. She went to, like, radio stations to, you know, charm.
Oh, I know. What a pain in the ass.
Charm,
people like you.
Kissing ass and taking names.
Yeah, the horrible ass part of music.
And it came back, and we just started playing, and then that first single came out, and within like a week, it was like literally a week. It was like from what's
I connected
Atlantis?
To it.
Yeah,
Atlantis. Yeah, I never had so much fun taking girls to the movie theater.
Yeah.
Than I did during Jagged Little Pill's time. I mean, seriously, every girl had to go down on you in the theater. Right. They did. I
but
mean,
then, like, call you at Thanksgiving with your new girlfriend.
I like crazy chicks, though,
just,
man.
You ought to know.
Crazy chicks? Are you into normal chicks? Are you into crazy chicks?
Well, back in the day, I liked them as crazy as can be.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. I had a kind of a run of girlfriends that were not like super insane, but or maybe I'm crazy or they drove me crazy, but just that kind of thing where it's
super
like
super crazy or.
Like, we got to break up before I'm on medication. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So, yeah.
Do you
I
hear
mean,
from,
it's always kind of fun.
Do you hear from any of those old ones where you're the guy who got away and they still sort of stalk you or haunt you or get in touch?
No. I have security and big gates. And
good firewall between
you. Yeah.
Okay. Totally. Probably a good idea.
I have a team of assassins that, no, I think they probably just don't like me anymore.
I got to ask you, are you always a big tipper, or you just happen to see the opportunity to write 666 on a tip the other day?
Dude, come on. When you get a bill that says 333, it's like, I'm going to go the extra mile. And but the sad thing, I think it was $303.30, but I was too hammered to figure out the $332.70 to get it out to, I couldn't do the real math, which would have been strong.
Where
I
was
like,
it? Where was
seeing
this?
Double at that point. The Rainbow.
It was that night after.
Yeah, you were having pizza.
Yeah.
I was drinking $333 worth of Jägermeister.
Oh, wow. My God.
Is that the drink of choice, Jäger?
You know, it's herbal, I think. medicinal,
have,
perhaps.
Have you ever had Malort?
Wasn't it Metallica?
Dude, I wasn't going to bring it up, but I have it, and I want to know, do you have any?
Yeah, I got a bottle of it around here someplace. Okay. Yeah, do you want to try it?
I'll hit it.
All right, David advises.
I'm in like rock and roll fantasy camp right now.
This is really bad stuff, though, guys.
I hear you guys like gag.
Oh, it's a fresh bottle, too.
Is it?
Yeah,
it's the worst tasting booze. They make it in Chicago.
No. They have like a challenge or something like that.
Yeah, it's the worst tasting booze in the planet. Is it really? Chicago. You got to get it from Chicago. They don't sell anywhere else.
Why does it exist?
I guess back during the Prohibition, this passed as as medicine, and whoever was judging stuff between recreational liquor and medicine, they said, this is definitely medicine. No one's drinking this stuff for fun.
Is right. it like absinthe or something?
Oh no, it's like if when rain collects in a tire.
Yeah. Oh God!
And if it was there, like for I've been a decade,
and someone spilled kerosene in it,
and then you drank that. Oh. That's what this is like.
Yeah,
come on, just throw
one
it.
One must chug.
No, you gotta throw it down.
Oh,
it
no,
it's
no,
one must chug.
Here we go.
Can we give it a second?
Yeah. It's...
Oh.
Yeah. It
when
flowers.
Hits the belly, it's.
Yeah. What is that? What's it made out? What is it? How do you spell it?
It's Jepson's Malort. Malort.
God damn.
The worst liquor in the world. Yeah, Heidi will dry heave on that stuff.
They should call it Don't Drink This.
When you want to unfriend somebody.
Do you buy that at a liquor store or some dude down the street? Like,
we actually had to order this from Chicago. You cannot find this in Southern California.
You know what you got to get? You have to get, there's this Icelandic schnapps called Brennivín.
Oh my God, I have it.
Do you really?
No, I don't.
Oh,
wouldn't that have been awesome?
Yeah. You mentioned that. Brennivín is amazing.
So Icelandic, did we get this here? We have to go to Iceland to get it.
But Brennivín. Brennivín. You can finally get it in America. I used to order it the first time we went to Iceland. We went out to have this dinner, and they were like, it was like a yurt on the beach. And they're like, dinner's not ready. Please go to the dunes and have a drink. And we walked down there. There's this Princess Leia-looking chick with a table in front of her with buckets of, like, ice and shot glasses and this stuff. Brennivín is in this green bottle. We're like, what's that? She's like, it's all national drink. And you hit the first one, and it's like, kind of tastes like water out of a garden hose thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, God! It's made with caraway seeds, so it kind of has that like licorice sort of taste to it, a tiny bit, but it turns you into like a Viking. It makes you insane. Like, it makes you like strong
after
like
the first little shot or after the second.
Well, you can't just do one,
yeah,
because then you're like, it can't be that bad. And then you had a bottle, and then it's like picking up tables.
Remember when that dude from like Jimmy Eat World was making his own whiskey, and you you had a road case of it?
Okay, so the guy, the bass player of Jimmy Eat World. Nate is his name? No, that's our bass
player. That would be funny.
Right. Rick, that's his name. He had a car that he was trying to make biodiesel fuel, and then he was eventually like, screw this, and used the same equipment to make booze. So he starts in his garage. So he starts distilling his own stuff. So while we were making that record, Wasting Light, Butch Vig was producing, who also produced Jimmy Eat World. So he sends out a bottle of his own stuff. And we're like, yay! We open it, and it's like, it was disgusting. It was like Southern Comfort, like on crack.
Was it thick?
Thick and sweet,
like,
and
Southern
strong.
Comfort popcorn oil?
Christopher Sellers drank the whole thing. So then we played with him at a festival not long after that. And he's like, hey, I brought you another bottle of this stuff. And I was like, oh, good. And so I opened it up and I took a sip and it was amazing. I was like, whoa. So then I let Pat have some. I'm like, what do you think? He's like, that's really good. So I just to make sure that is it. So we drank the entire bottle. It's like Czechoslovakia. Had the best show ever. And then I went to him like, dude, I need a case of this stuff. So we actually built a rolling road case full of this dude's bootleg hooch that he made in his garage with the biodiesel machine. And,
is that part of the pre-show thing now? It's like you got to get into the
We kind of ran out. Well, then I started like... Jorma started puking blood. Like, it got weird.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of got it. Like, someone went blind. It was totally unsanctioned and not, Yeah.
I heard that you, a few minutes before you go on, maybe you have a ritual, like 10, 15 minutes before the show goes on. What are you doing in that period? Is it Jaeger? What are you getting ready to go on stage and liquored up?
1 hour before the show. Really? Should I tell people how to do it?
Well, okay, not how sure. to do it, how you do it.
An hour and a half. Yeah, kids, stay in school. Don't do drugs. An hour and a half before the gig, I take 3 Advil.
Okay.
An hour before the gig, I have a Coors Light.
Okay.
About 50 minutes before the gig, I hit my first Yegg.
Okay. Not bad.
I finish the Coors Light. I get another Coors Light going. Now there's a bunch of people around. So I'm throwing shots at everybody, and I'm taking shots with everyone in the room. The next Coors Light's down. I got a cold one. Now it's about 20 minutes before going on. I've maybe had three or four shots of Yegg and three Coors Lights. Then they sort of clear the room, and we get the 15 minutes to ourselves. This is bad. I've done this every night for the last year and a half. That's why I'm not scared of the Malort. Like, I've had worse.
So then
15 minutes before, like, we need our privacy, which is such bullshit. We totally don't. So then it's all of us, and I feel guilty because I'm the only one that's been doing all the shots of Yegg. So I start feeding Yegg to the rest of the band, who are all drinking like white wine and champagne or whatever. So I'm pounding them with Yegg, but I have to take them with them because I can't be that guy that just... So now I'm like five or six shots in, and it's like, okay, it's time to walk to the stage. So I crack another beer, just have a cold one as I walk up, and I pick up the bottle and drink the last inch of the Yegg.
Every time.
Works out the same and then we play for 3 hours, in which I'm also drinking Yegg on stage.
You think it's a three Advil that gave that extra stamina? Yeah, that's the key. Advil,
you know, let me tell you, if I don't take that Advil...
He didn't.
I didn't the other night in San Jose. If I don't take the Advil, I get... like this swelling aneurysm headache from screaming my balls off for 3 hours. Like, it hurts.
Full of liquor.
With the booze, too. But don't blame it on the booze. There's nothing wrong with that.
When you lost your voice recently, what was that due to?
It's because I got a cold.
Just a cold, no big deal.
Yeah, so I got a cold and thought, like, oh, I'm in great. This will be perfect. And we played this outdoor stadium in Seattle and just totally blew it out. And the next day, I woke up. We had 2 days off. I woke up and I went to speak normally, and it sounded like this. It's like, oh my God, what happened to my voice? And so I thought, okay, we'll see what happens tomorrow. And I'm like, and so I went to this vocal guy, and he's like, he looked for like nodes and nodules and stuff, and it's fine. I don't have those. I just had laryngitis. So I took steroids. Which are rad, by the way.
Yeah, your muscles look awesome right now.
Doesn't have anything to do with that.
Oh, I know.
No. but they make you spaz.
Can so you does drink
the
Malort,
kind of. Have you noticed the difference in the last 5 minutes?
You feel it in your neck. Just wait.
Like my
armpit.
The inside of my elbows are sweating. Right here. What's that?
It's They're really not even touching now.
Taylor, I smell like cat too. That's so weird. What is that?
Taylor, I understand you're a huge Queen fan. And we got the movie coming out about the band. Now, who plays Freddie Mercury in the movie?
Rami Malek or something like that.
And the trailer looks fantastic. It changes himself into Eddie Mercury. So when the Foovy
Freddie
comes
Mercury.
Out.
Yeah.
Foovy. Who's going to play you guys?
I like Eddie Mercury. As if Eddie Murphy played Freddie Mercury.
He said Adam Mercury.
Adam Mercury. Like,
is this a Malort?
Dude, what's going on?
I don't know, man.
Everything got brighter and weirder and cooler. I'm going for Shelley Duvall.
Shelley Duvall.
Like, look at Shelley Duvall from The Shining.
She's like, get away from me! Get away from me!
Like, that's me. That's totally me.
Get away from me! And Taylor, you going to play yourself? Because you're an actor.
Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Yeah, won't they be... dead or
I guess we can't do the movie now
because also playing the Cal Jam 18 you got Iggy Pop and you played Iggy Pop in a movie
that's my acting debut and ending.
Has he seen it?
I don't know.
I guess you'll find out.
I hope not. It was not great.
It wasn't great.
I don't really like acting. I'm not good at it. Dave's actually better at it. Like, we've made videos, and it'll be, like, time for us to, like, do something, like, you know, actory. And I'll laugh or something. We'll have to do it again, and I'll watch Dave, and he'll, like, be nailing it. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah, but you know, too. Nate, our bass player,
he's secret acting weapon when it comes to our videos, for sure.
He's the Daniel Day-Lewis of the Foo Fighters.
For sure.
It's pretty amazing.
He becomes the role.
Taylor, I read, this just amazes me, that after all your success, you could drive anything you want, but you still drive the same automobile you had in high school. It's a cheap Toyota 4Runner, what, 1986?
My wife spends all my money. I just, you know, I just... No, it's great. She doles out $100 a week.
How many miles you got on that Toyota?
Like 220,000 miles. I mean, that's not my main car. And
I know what your main car is. 2005 Subaru Baja. He's stalking which you. Is cool.
How'd you know that?
I not many people still drive those.
They're hard to find. Yeah, I don't know. I like trucks. I mean, this is going to get really boring and stupid.
No, I like trucks too.
I like trucks. And I like lower trucks, not lowered trucks, but I like them kind of low. And they don't really make them anymore.
Like El Camino kind of like.
Kind of, yeah.
Disappeared.
I heard they were gonna make, really? I heard they were going to make the El Camino
I think
again,
I heard that too. It's coming back.
Where yeah, but it'll look like a Taurus. There's no way it's going to look like. You know what I mean?
It's like,
it's going to be electric.
They'll just take all the lines out of it. It'll be some like.
It's a hybrid.
Look like a tampon applicator. They all do. They can't make an old car again.
No.
They did like the Beetle. They tried with that and completely failed.
Totally.
I had a nice car once, and everyone made fun of me, so I got rid of it.
First of all, it was a two-seater, and you just had a kid.
Well, it was my point of saying, I don't think I should be driving.
I think you're driving the kid around.
You see me driving.
Exactly.
Dave, on the other hand, correct me if I'm wrong, $140,000 Tesla.
I do. Cool I have one that? Of those Teslas.
And it's dead pretty much every time he comes
home. You know that guy, like, you have a friend that never charges his phone? Like, it's always on 6%, and if you plug it in for 4 minutes, and then it's on 11%, and then you use it, and then it's on 2%, and then you plug it in for 7 minutes, and it's like that's me with the Tesla. So it's like, and I don't really, that's the worst thing about having a car that you have to charge, like it's a cell phone, is that I'm like, God, I have to, I don't know if I'm going to make it, you know, like you're looking at your battery everywhere you go, like, I'm not going to make it. So I bought a truck.
Oh, there we go.
A Toyota?
Yeah, I saw
Toyota. Tundra?
Yay.
Tacoma.
All right, that's sweet, though. You see my Toyota Tundra outside? It says Frank's Tundra on the side of it. You can't miss it. No. It's wrapped. It says hashtag Frank's Tundra.
I'm going to get a big Malort laminate and just put that on the side of mine.
You know, we have a connection. Your truck is made in my hometown in Indiana, southern Indiana.
Hey, wow.
We're, like, connected now.
But Toyotas, cool, man. Toyotas
that's
are
totally cool, man.
Toyotas are made
Maybe
in
it's
Indiana.
It's better just to listen to the show. I don't know.
Rest in Indiana.
Oh, right.
We got Dave Grohl, Taylor Hawkins with us. For Cal Jam 18 is coming up. It's going to be Friday, October 5th, Saturday, October 6th. So get your tickets, caljamfest.com. Okay, final three questions. The answers are Dave Grohl or Taylor Hawkins. Who is the smartest?
Dave Grohl.
He's right.
Okay. who is the most adventurous in bed?
Taylor Hawkins. No question.
What, because of that other night thing?
Yeah.
That was
quiet. Next question.
Okay. And final question. Who is least likely to be the victim of a pyramid scheme?
Least likely to be the victim of a pyramid scheme...
they still have those.
Yeah. Isn't that some Herbalife crap? I don't know.
It's Amway, right?
Something like that.
It's Amway. So I
feel like both of us would get suckered into it.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for coming by. The door is always open. You know
Thank
that.
You very much.
So come by. Cal Jam 18, get your tickets. CalJamFest.com. We're going to be right back. We're Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.